Chapter 8. All the Rage. A few years after Pasteur's apparent anthrax triumph, he set his sights on what he perceived to be the ultimate prize that seemed to lie within his reach. That is, a vaccine against rabies, also known as hydrophobia. Just as Jenner did not know the causative agent of smallpox, no one knew the causative agent of rabies until 1903, when Paul Remlinger, director of the Imperial Bacteriology Institute of Constantinople, ascertained that it was caused by a filterable agent, or virus in the current sense of the word. In Pasteur's day, it was understood to be a virus in the older sense of the word, as a slimy, infectious poison. In the case of rabies, one that accumulated in the saliva of rabid dogs. The word rabies comes from the Latin rabere, meaning to rage or to rave. The French word for rabies is la rage. Clinical symptoms of furious rabies include hyperactivity, excitability, hallucinations, lack of coordination, hydrophobia, fear of water, and aerophobia, fear of drafts or of fresh air. Death occurs after a few days due to cardiorespiratory arrest. About 20% of cases result in paralytic rabies, in which the victim suffers gradual paralysis followed by coma and death. According to the CDC, less than 20 cases of human survival from clinical rabies have been documented. Even in Pasteur's day, before strict laws were passed to eliminate stray dogs, humans were rarely infected by rabies compared to other infectious diseases. Nevertheless, Pasteur understood that because rabies is such a terrifying disease, he who vanquished it with a vaccine would attain eternal glory. The other advantage that rabies presented at the time was that none of the prominent German bacteriologists were working on it. In 1879, Pierre-Victor Galtier, a professor at the Veterinarian School of Lyon, showed that rabies could be transmitted from dogs to rabbits. In 1871, he presented a paper at the Academy of Sciences documenting what he claimed to be a successful experiment in inoculating sheep with an attenuated rabies vaccine. Also in 1881, the medical doctor Pierre-Henri Dubouet gave a copy of his recently published book to Pasteur, in which he reported that rabies infection begins in the peripheral nervous system, through which it moves to the spinal cord and brain, at which point the acute symptoms erupt. The relative slowness of this process, taking 30 days or more after the victim is bitten by a rabid animal, is what prompted the idea of inducing post-exposure prophylaxis with a vaccine. The basic concept was to stimulate the immune system with high doses of attenuated rabies before the initial infection reached the brain. Dubouet's findings were news to Pasteur, who was still, at that time, looking for the pathogen in the blood of infected animals. In 1883 to 1884, Paul Gibier from the Faculty of Medicine in the Museum of Natural History performed experiments showing that rabies, present in nerve tissue, lost virulence when the nerve tissue was desiccated. In 1884, Pasteur and his team developed their prototype for an attenuated rabies vaccine using the desiccated spinal cords of infected rabbits. After conducting inoculation and challenge experiments on dogs with an overall success rate of about 62%, Pasteur was ready to try it on humans. Since the early 1870s, the Brazilian Emperor Dom Pedro II had been one of Pasteur's dedicated admirers. And so, on September 22, 1884, Pasteur wrote to the Emperor, proposing that he commute the sentences of Brazilian prisoners convicted of crimes in exchange for their participation in a rabies vaccine trial. As Pasteur put it, If I were king or emperor, or even president of the republic, here is how I would exercise the right of pardon on death row inmates. I would offer to the lawyer for the convicted person, the day before the execution of the latter, to choose between imminent death and an experiment which would consist of preventive inoculations of rabies to cause the constitution of the subject to be refractory to rabies. Employing these trials, the life of the condemned man would be saved. If it were, and I have the persuasion that it would indeed be, as a guarantee vis-à-vis the society which condemned the criminal, it would be subjected to surveillance for life. All the condemned would accept. The death row inmate only apprehends death. The emperor did not authorize Pasteur's request, but instead offered to support the French professor in tackling the much bigger problem of yellow fever morbidity and mortality in Brazil. Pasteur declined this alternative proposal as he wished to stay focused on rabies. About 10 months after his letter exchange with Dom Pedro, Pasteur got his celebrated chance to try out his attenuated rabies vaccine on a human subject. On July 6, 1885, a 9-year-old boy named Joseph Meister from Alsace was brought to Pasteur's lab by his mother after he was bitten multiple times by an enraged dog. According to Pasteur, he administered a succession of inoculations made from the desiccated spinal cords of rabies-infected rabbits. He claimed that he and his team had devised a method of attenuation that enabled them to increase the virulence with each shot in the series, concluding with a shot of fully virulent rabies. In Pasteur's published account of the Joseph Meister case, he claimed that just prior to treating the boy, he had rendered 50 dogs immune to rabies without a single failure. However, his private lab notebook, which was disclosed to researchers in the 1960s, revealed that prior to vaccinating Meister, he had only conducted vaccine trials on 26 dogs that had been bitten by a rabid animal. Of these, he chose only 7 for the unvaccinated control group. As he noted, the survival rates were 50-78% for the treated dogs and 57-71% for the untreated dogs. As for the 50 dogs he references in his celebrated paper about treating Joseph Meister, his private notebooks tell a different story. The notebooks show that as of 6 July 1885, when Meister's treatment began, Pasteur had just begun a series of vaguely comparable experiments on 40 dogs. As of that date, according to the laboratory notebooks, only 20 of the 40 to 50 experimental dogs had even completed the full series of vaccinal injections, and none of the dogs had survived as long as 30 days since their last, and highly lethal, injection. Furthermore, as Pasteur himself conceded, not a single one of these experimental dogs had first been bitten or otherwise inoculated with rabies before being treated by the method used on Meister. In other words, Pasteur had little to no experimental data on animals to support using the experimental vaccine on a human. One might argue that the 100% case fatality rate of clinical rabies justified such high risk-taking. On the other hand, by Pasteur's own estimate, only 15-20% of people bitten by rabid dogs would eventually die of rabies if they didn't receive his treatment. The decision to administer the shots to Joseph Meister was therefore a gamble. This probably explains why Pasteur's right-hand man, Émile Roux, a licensed MD, did not administer the shots. These were administered by Pasteur's other medical assistant, Dr. Jacques-Joseph Granchet. A few months later, Pasteur carried out another successful vaccine experiment on a 15-year-old shepherd named Jean-Baptiste Jupille. Pasteur reported his experiments at a session of the French Academy of Sciences on October 26, 1885. The apparent success of the much-publicized vaccine experiments on Meister and Jupille was an absolute triumph for Pasteur, making him one of the most famous men in the world and a French national hero. His fame enabled him to solicit donations to fund his Institut Pasteur in Paris, which he opened 3 years later. Rarely does the celebratory literature about Pasteur's rabies vaccination practice mention its questionable elements. First, many who sought his vaccine treatment did not know that the attacking dog was in fact rabid and not aggressive as the result of abuse, neglect, hunger, or some other ailment. As the celebrated Swedish physician Axel Munthe, who worked at the Pasteur's clinic in 1886, remarked in his memoirs, The Story of Saint Michele, a great number, if not the majority, of dogs killed suspected of hydrophobia are suffering from other relatively harmless diseases. But even if this can be proved by post-mortem examination, not one in a dozen of ordinary doctors and vets is competent to do it. It is, as a rule, most difficult to convince the person who has been bitten by the dog. The dread of the terrible disease remains, and to be haunted by the fear of hydrophobia is as dangerous as the disease itself. Pasteur's celebrated patient, Jean-Baptiste Jupille, was bit on the hand after he attacked the dog with a whip. The boy then tied the dog's mouth shut and beat the animal to death with one of his wooden shoes. A commemorative statue of the incident on the grounds of the Institut Pasteur depicts Jupille heroically fighting a rabid dog to fend it off from his young friends. Unsuspecting viewers would probably be surprised to learn that it was the shepherd boy who initiated the attack, and not the other way around. Word of Pasteur's success rapidly spread, and soon his clinic became the go-to place for people who'd been bitten by apparently rabid dogs. Some who received Pasteur's attenuated rabies vaccine survived. Some died. Pasteur attributed the survival of the former to the successful intervention of his vaccine. The deaths of the latter, he ascribed to the vaccine being administered too late. In 1890, a British medical doctor and scholar named Thomas M. Dolan published Pasteur and Rabies, in which he argued that the epidemiological data on rabies did not support Pasteur's declaration that he'd saved hundreds of lives with his attenuated vaccine. Especially conspicuous was the fact that the incidence of human rabies morbidity and mortality in France was no higher in the decades prior to Pasteur's deployment of his vaccine. Indeed, including patients who died after receiving the attenuated rabies vaccine, the total number of rabies deaths was higher in some years following the administration of the therapy. Dolan's observations raised the suspicion that Pasteur may have given his attenuated rabies vaccine to people, perhaps even to many people, who'd been bitten by dogs that weren't rabid, and that his attenuated vaccine may have even killed some of them. As Dr. Axel Munthe remarked, the fear of rabies caused people to suspect that all ill-humored dogs were rabid. This is a useful observation to bear in mind in considering the perceived rabies epidemic in Los Angeles County during the 1920s and 30s, when residents reported many dogs wandering the streets. The greater number of reported bites did not result in a higher incidence of human cases, which remained about one person per year during this 20-year period. Even when dogs were determined to be rabid and not merely aggressive, only about 10% of bites resulted in human infection. Another contributing factor to this low rate of transmission was probably the fact that, in the 1920s and 1930s, soap and clean water were readily available in LA County for cleaning dog bites. Prompt and thorough wound disinfection remains the first line of defense against rabies. Pasteur is most celebrated for his experimental work in developing attenuated vaccines, but his greatest contribution to public health was his insight that heating wine and beer to around 60 degrees Celsius killed microbial contaminants. He developed and applied this method to preserve wine and beer, but the method later proved to be of immense value to human health when it was used to disinfect milk. During the 19th and early 20th centuries, hundreds of thousands of infants of mothers who couldn't produce enough milk to nurse them died of dysentery, tuberculosis, and other illnesses from contaminated cow's milk. Ironically, given Pasteur's rivalry with the Germans, it was not he who proposed applying his method to milk, but a German agricultural chemist named Franz von Soxhlet. Just as pasteurizing milk saved far more children's lives than vaccines against milk-borne pathogens, the eradication of rabies in the developed world was not achieved through vaccination, but by strictly enforced laws for removing stray dogs from the streets and countryside. By eliminating stray dogs, rabies was eradicated from the UK by the year 1902. Other countries followed Britain's lead. Though the pathogen still exists in wild animals in the United States, it infects less than 10 humans per year. During Pasteur's lifetime, the German bacteriologist Robert Koch was a formidable critic who spoke and wrote about Pasteur's lack of transparency and larceny. Koch knew that Toussaint was the true inventor of the attenuated anthrax vaccine. He even publicly stated that Pasteur often communicated more like an advertising executive than a scientist. However, despite Koch's own international prestige, he did little to diminish Pasteur's legendary status. Within France, Pasteur greatly benefited from the fervent French nationalism and anti-German sentiment that prevailed in the decades following the Franco-Prussian War of 1870 to 1871. As Pasteur's French critic, Dr. Auguste Luton noted in his 1887 book, Pasteur and Rabies, "In France, one can be an anarchist, a communist, or a nihilist, but not an anti-Pasteurian. A simple question of science has been made into a question of patriotism." By the time of Pasteur's death in 1895, he was widely regarded as one of the greatest scientists of the 19th century, with multiple countries hosting Pasteur Institutes in his honor. In a 1910 review of his career published in the British Spectator, Stephen Paget asserted, "Pasteur was the most perfect man who has ever entered the kingdom of science." In our own day, the same ardent adulation for Louis Pasteur was conferred on Dr. Anthony Fauci, who created a similar cult of personality in the popular press. During Pasteur's lifetime, he did not open his lab notebooks to scrutiny, but kept them strictly private. In 1964, his grandson, Professor Louis Pasteur Valery Radot, donated the professor's 152 notebooks to the French National Library, thereby allowing historians to examine the reality of his experimental methods. In 1995, the American medical historian Gerald Geisen published his magisterial analysis, The Private Science of Louis Pasteur, revealing Pasteur's persistent lack of transparency. The New York Times published a glowing review titled Experiments in Deceit that recounted Geisen's most damning discoveries. And yet, Geisen's book and the favorable Times review did little to diminish Pasteur's international fame. His career and the laurels heaped on him have been an inspiration for generations of scientists who hoped to attain similar glory by inventing vaccines against other infectious disease pathogens.